Okay, so this is kind of more of college football news and reflecting with some of the media that's come out lately involving college football. But really, you're going to see in the title, I got three big talking points. Number one's going to be about Nick Saban and his retiring. Number two is going to be who I think the top five quarterbacks are in this upcoming class. And the last thing I'm going to talk about is the NCAA video game and what it kind of means to me. So, starting from the top, Nick Saban has retired. The greatest, maybe one of the greatest football coaches in general to ever coach the game. I don't think people understand just how much work and how amazing Nick Saban really was. And we only really truly understand it now that he's retired. Like, Nick Saban won a championship every 3 years he coached, except for his last little run. I don't think people understand how incredible that is. Nick Saban recruited like a madman as much as he could. I mean, he ran a college football team that even when they didn't win a championship or even when they had a loss or two, you were terrified of. I bet you those years Alabama didn't make the playoff, those four coaches in that playoff breathed a big sigh of relief. Nick Saban was amazing with the media. And, you know, Nick Saban seemed like he was just a very good person. I think he should be the commissioner of college football. He knows what he's talking about. And just to go on one more note here, and I give credit to Josh Pate, he talked about this first. Nick Saban adapted, which you don't see many coaches do anymore. Nick Saban saw every trend when it happened, and he adjusted and made the best of it. You made the offensive rules different, he adjusted. You started recruiting a different kind of player. You went away from the linebackers that stopped the run to zone coverage. He adjusted to that too. NIL, he did his best to adjust. Transfer portal, he portaled when he had to. There's not a single red X anywhere on his coaching career. The closest thing you can even say negative about him is it's a shame how bad his team played against Clemson in that one national championship. That is it. People want to just say terrible things about him in the NFL. He was almost 500 in the NFL. I don't know what those people are talking about. If he would have stayed in the NFL, I bet you he would have been quite the rival to Mr. Belichick. Just absolute garbage takes coming out of some people about Nick Saban. And if you're a Bama hater, that's one thing, but don't be an idiot. Don't diminish Nick Saban because you feel like... I'll tell you why you hate him. Because he wrecked your program. He wrecked every SEC program, and he did whatever he wanted to your team. And guess what? He could throw it on you if he wanted to. He could run on you. He could stop your run. He could stop your pass. I'm very happy the LSU fan base and the Georgia fan base have been very respectful to him. And those two probably have the most right to be a little disrespectful to him. But, you know, all those times you saw LSU, you saw Auburn, you saw Georgia, you saw them get the best of him. He has 10 times he got the best of you and wrecked your season. So I like that there's a lot of fairness going around there. So thank you, Coach Saban. I'm sure you'll have more to say in the future, but, you know, thanks for all you did for college football, even though you'll never hear this. Next, I think this is what most people do want to hear. I just feel like I have to talk about it, and I was talking about it today with our future podcast, Triple Doink member. We were talking about this. We were talking about some quarterbacks in the upcoming draft. I gave it a lot of thought. And I thought, why don't I make a list? I love lists. You all know that. Will Cain said it was the worst type of radio. Yet he did it every day. Just the brilliance. Okay. So let's start with, in fact, we might do more than five. I'm going to go from 1 to 10, I guess. Starting at best to worst. Now, keep in mind, this is not who I think is going to get drafted in this order. This is who I think the best prospect is, okay? I'm just making sure everyone gets this. Because I know for a fact, somebody's going to tell me this guy's not getting picked that high, and I'm just telling you this is how I rate these quarterbacks. Okay, we all get it? Perfect. So, the best quarterback in this class, in my opinion, is Jaden Daniels. He broke Joe Burrow records last year. He just didn't have a defense. If you gave Jaden Daniels a defense, he would have won the national championship this year. And I don't think anybody would even argue that. Jaden Daniels can scramble, he can throw, he can do it all. He's got experience. He played on terrible Arizona State teams. He played on some subpar LSU teams. He did it all, and he faced really good defenses. I think I don't have a comparison to him. I'm trying not to do comparisons anymore because I don't feel like I do a good job at that. But I think Jaden Daniels, he has a future in the league as a top-end player. I'm not saying he's going to be a top-5 quarterback. I could see Jaden Daniels, though, being easily a top-10 quarterback in the league in 5 years. I hope the Bears draft him. Now, this is where it gets very tricky. And I don't like to say what I'm going to say, but I have to. I think Caleb Williams is the second best quarterback. I'm going to tell you what I don't like. I don't like his attitude. I really don't like his arrogance. I really, really dislike, you know, how the USC Trojans just propped him up, and there's a lot of propaganda, the Caleb Williams propaganda coming out. He's the best quarterback in generations. Okay, I don't care if you paint your nails. I could not care less. But when you paint FUCK, whatever the other team is, like he did against Utah and then proceeded to lose, I don't like that. I think it's classless, and I think it's not even that funny. Caleb Williams is just such a baby. I can't root for him. He wants to be a partial owner or whatever team drafts him. He originally has a list of teams he'll only play for. Like, it's just not a good look. It makes him come off terribly. And a lot of people are rooting for him to be a bust, and I hate to say it, I might be joining that group. I don't think he's going to have the greatest future. Like, if you look at his size and his weight, he's like 6'1". He doesn't have generational size. And he's a heavier guy. We got to give him that. Like, he can take the hits. I just don't think physically he's this monster some people seem to think he is. Like, Jaden Daniels in perspective is 6'4", 210. You know what I mean? And I think Daniels is overall better athlete. Williams has to go this high up, though, because I genuinely think after Williams, there is a massive drop-off. And it's something that's bigger than people realize. Like, Drake May, I do not like. Maybe it's the Trubisky bias coming out because he was from North Carolina, too. But I do not think Drake May is going to be a good quarterback. I don't think he's going to be around for too long in the NFL. I think he got given a really good gig at North Carolina when he stepped in when he did to replace Sam Howell. I think that Sam Howell was way better when he was there than Drake May. Drake May is a flashy player. I got to give him credit. Drake May can make some good decisions. But in my opinion, Drake May is not an impact guy you can win with in the NFL. He doesn't do anything better than Jaden Daniels, and he doesn't do anything better than Caleb Williams. So in my opinion, you're being very disingenuous when people are ranking him ahead of the two, unless you've seen tape I haven't. Which, some people have the inside track on this, but I see no world where Drake May goes above the other two, and I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. I really don't. But with that being said, Drake May is my third quarterback. I don't know if any other guy on this list is really an NFL starting caliber guy. And that kind of hurts to say. I think it's Caleb and it's Daniels and the rest. We're definitely going to get a diamond in the rough who can play. But all I'm saying is I think Williams and Daniels are your only hopes if you're looking for a quarterback who's going to be a top 10. Or if you want to roll the dice on a guy. That's basically what I'm trying to say. So after Drake May, the drop-off's not too bad. And I think I'm going to get some hate for this, but I'm actually going Bo Nix here at my number 4. Bo Nix, 6'2", 217 pounds. Bo Nix is a tank. Bo Nix is very experienced, which you can look at as a good or a bad thing. He's played a lot of college football for Auburn and Oregon. He seems to get better every year he plays. He seems to get smarter every year he plays. The Bo Nix, he doesn't have haters anymore. I think if you're looking for a guy with some upside who you might be able to mold into the QB you want, Bo Nix is your guy, and if you have an injury, you can feel pretty comfortable with him going into the game due to his high experience. What I worry is I said a lot of these similar things about Kenny Pickett, but I think Bo Nix is a much better athlete than Pickett. So if I have to power scale Nix to somebody, I guess I'll power scale him to Kenny Pickett. Except I think Nix might have a little bit of better upside than Pickett does. But the Pickett book's not done yet. Going down to number 5, you know, there's a lot of bias here. And I'm going to get laughed at. I think Spencer Rattler's the 5th best quarterback. Hear me out for a sec. I heard you all throw your computers and your phones. All 2 of you listening. Spencer Rattler has an incredible arm. He's a gifted athlete. If you say you don't like him because you watched a show about him in high school, I have some bad news for you. He's a different guy now. I fell into that trap too. He's a different guy now. He's really matured, coming to his own. Spencer Rattler, he also had a really good Senior Bowl, might I add. He had no O-line in South Carolina. He had very limited options offensively. His options all transferred out. He was a leader. He was a mature leader. And he handled his wins with class, and he handled his losses with class. And he just played as hard as he could to do whatever he could to get wins. He also, keep this in mind, I know he wasn't the whole team. Beamer, the coach of South Carolina, had a good defense. He won 8 games with South Carolina. Should have been 9, but they choked it to Notre Dame. Say what you want. It's hard to get 8 wins with South Carolina against a really good SEC schedule. He also beat Clemson. I'm not saying Rattler's ever going to be a top 15, top 20 quarterback. If I had to give him a comparison, I could see him being a guy who, kind of like Aiden O'Connell this year, gets thrown into action and you can feel comfortable with him, at least in your backfield. Sort of like Bo Nix in a sense. But might I also say my Aiden O'Connell take last year was not that bad. It might have been a really good take. But I don't need my flowers. If we're going after Spencer Rattler at number 6, I'm going to go Michael Penix. Don't fall victim of this whole Washington propaganda cycle that Penix is just incredible. Keep in mind he did have some help, like it or not. He had a really good O-line. He has a top receiver. And he played not the hardest schedule in the world. But, not to take too much away from him, he's a good quarterback. I don't see him ever starting in the NFL as the guy. That's why he's number 6. I think Rattler has a better ceiling than he does. And you also, I hate to say it, you have to look at injuries with Penix. The guy gets hurt, like it or not. He's had a lot of injuries. I genuinely don't think if you're looking for a guy who's going to be your future, you go with Penix. I think you draft Penix if, I guess, maybe backup. I just don't really see too much upside to him, especially with his injury history. This take could blow up in my face, by the way. If someone's going to prove me wrong, it might be Michael Penix, because he proves everyone wrong. But I don't think I'm wrong on this. After that, you can go a lot of different directions. I actually have another name that might get me some, what's the word? Some Florida State, a team I hate love here. The FSU fans might like this take. I love Jordan Travis. Jordan Travis is a guy that, okay, I'll just come out and say it. Travis, I guess, is my number 7. My number 8 is J.J. McCarthy. And I'm going to say this. If Jordan Travis was on that Michigan team, they would have still won the national championship. They might have even been better. I don't really love J.J. McCarthy. I think he's very overrated. I think he's not a bad person. I think he's a good person. He seems like he's very cool, even though I don't get the brushing the teeth thing. But, I mean, Travis, I think, is better than J.J. McCarthy. And I actually think Travis has a much higher ceiling than J.J. does. J.J., I think it's kind of a... Oh, what's that quarterback's name? I talk about him at... He went to Texas A&M. On a famous episode of the old pod, 3rd and 10, I said he's not getting any better. Like, God can coach him, he won't get better. It's the same situation with, unfortunately, J.J., Travis could get better, and, you know, this is going to be odd to say because I've kind of said a lot of other guys didn't have this future, but Travis does have some starting potential. He could be a starter. Not day one, but you could find a way. I could see a path where he does become a starter. My 9 and 10 then kind of go Michael Pratt, who... Michael Pratt, I'm not sure I love, but Michael Pratt at least has a good frame. He's 6'3", he's 220, he played some really good football. And after him, it's just a big drop-off. I guess if I had to pick somebody, I might maybe lean Sam Hartman. Sam Hartman, believe it or not, last year, I said was a top 5 quarterback if he were to come out. He decided not to come out to the draft. And I don't think his stock would have been higher or lower. I just think I had a terrible read on him last year, which is kind of embarrassing of me to even admit. But I've come back to earth, guys. I'm with you now. I think he's the 10th best quarterback. And after that, maybe Keaton Slovis. He's the only other guy you might be able to convince me on. Not really an incredible year for quarterbacks. Again, the only two, there's three guys are, okay, I'll say this. Let me put official ceilings on this. Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, possibly maybe Bo Nix, and if we have to, Jordan Travis, I think are the only ones who could become megastars. I'm saying they have possible upside to be megastars. Spencer Rattler, and where's the other fella? Spencer Rattler and... Spencer Rattler and Drake May, maybe starters. Michael Penix, maybe a starter. Rest, backups. I gotta just say backups at best. I don't see them ever being starters. If I have to find, I was told today about my bad Davis Mills take. If I need someone to play the Davis Mills role, I actually think a guy like Spencer Rattler is the perfect one to do it. Fill in for a year. But Rattler might get destroyed in the NFL, and this all just kind of makes me look bad. But yeah, what I'm trying to say is if you're not drafting Daniels, you're going to be drafting a very unlikable Caleb Williams. And if you don't get him, the only other two really with upside that I think could be maybe megastars, but not necessarily, possibly Bo Nix or possibly Jordan Travis. But if we have to make who I think at this current moment is the best... Daniels, Williams, May, Nix, Rattler, Penix, Travis, McCarthy, Pratt, and then my boy Sam Hartman. That's my order at this moment. But if we're talking megastar potential, the only ones with megastar potential are Williams, Daniels, Nix, and Travis. I pray to God Rattler becomes a megastar. Nothing would make me cry more than that. It'd make me so happy. Let's talk about the video game. If this game is a Madden clone, people will go wild. So EA Sports, don't do it. Now, I know people aren't going to like this when I say this. And I've said this a few times. $600 and a copy of the game was good NIL for the players involved. And if you don't want to be in the game, just don't be in the game and don't complain about the free publicity you get from this video game. You are going to be going from a college football bubble that has millions to tens and tens and tens of millions in this video game because people will play it, get hyped over the ratings who don't watch college football in their life. You might sell your jersey just from this video game if you have a good Ultimate Team card. Give me a break. $600 and a copy of the game isn't enough. The free advertising you're getting is more, it's the value of tens and tens and tens of thousands. This game needs five things. It needs a good transfer portal system. If the transfer portal system's bad or it's like NCAA 14, you're not going to make people happy and it's going to be disingenuous to the sport. Number two, the NIL. I don't think you should be able to offer NIL. I think NIL should be a part of your recruiting pitch. I think that would be the most fair way to do it because I don't think we want to go the Madden road of having kind of a budget and giving money to players. And I don't think EA is going to do that either. I think they're just going to incorporate it into the game, as I'm saying. Next, we need to be able to customize conferences. We need to customize this. The 12-team playoff is terrible. If anybody tells you the 12-team playoff's good, they have been misled. In this video game, in my fictional perfect world, let me expand it to 6 teams and be done with it. Let me be in control of all customization of stuff in the Dynasty mode. And the online leagues I can run. Where I think my team is going to be a Northern Illinois build. Into, of course, South Carolina. Next. Don't focus on Ultimate Team. If you focus on Ultimate Team and you disregard franchise, you might as well not put the game out. EA, don't be greedy. I know you're going to be. It doesn't matter what I say. Focus on the Dynasty mode and make it as fun as possible. The last thing we need is Team Builder. If we could have Team Builder, we could put any FCS school we want in the game. We could make fun made-up teams like Canada State. That's a joke, by the way. I know that Canada's not a state. I've heard rumors there's lots of customization. Give us full customization. If my little Northern Illinois team wins a national championship, give me the option to build a massive stadium for them for the next year, or a slightly bigger one. And if they'll never do this either, but if they could put like old rosters in, because they settle NIL deals with those guys, like you'd have 0-1 Miami, you could have like 0-8 Florida, or sorry, 0-7 Florida. I'm in, I'll pay your money for your DLC to have 2007 Florida. I can get the 2013 South Carolina team properly rated, unlike NCAA 14. I'll take it. I'm in. Yeah, Geno Smith 2012 West Virginia. I'm in. Gameplay, all I ask is don't make it a buggy mess. If you make it like NCAA 14, I'll be happy. If it's anything like NCAA 14, I'll be happy. If you find a happy median between NCAA 14, Madden 17, and possibly Pro Football 2K8. We're gold. Perfect. If we can find balance there. If it's a Madden 24 clone, I'm just going to play Dynasty and never play the game. I'll pretend to be the coach. I'll wear the hat and pretend in my living room with my headset on that I'm calling the plays. That's what I'll do. GG. I'm excited for this video game. When I join another podcast right now, I'm in the process of, the show will continue here on Benchwarmers Club, but when I start this other podcast, I'm going to tell you stories about NCAA 14. Anyways, God bless and praise Christ. Thank you for listening and take care.